Hello? Oh, come on. There we go. Yeah, don't worry about the video. That'll save us some bandwidth.
Oh yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't feel like putting on pants today, so.
That's really what's happening. Yeah. Oh, sure. Sorry about the confusion. It's I don't know. I'm terrible with technology in general, so I'm actually like Skyping you off of my iPhone, which is set up in front of my computer and stuff. It's just
Hey, no judgments here, man.
Well, thank you so much for doing this again. I really appreciate it.
For sure. Yeah, again, if you want to kill the video stream on your side, that'll save us a little bit of bandwidth there, make it a little more stable. Hot action.
As I mentioned, me and technology are not friends. Yeah, I think I've got it.
All right, we're cooking now.
All right, cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for agreeing to do the interview.
No, as I mentioned, I'm so happy you guys enjoyed this film as well, because I feel like it's got a very specific sort of voice and tone, and I'm just happy it's kind of found its respective audience with you guys. I really am excited for it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it met our single greatest criteria, which is it made us laugh. And I mean, there was a couple moments in there where my co-founder and I, we were just rolling, laughing, especially the reveal at the end was just, we were like, oh no, he hung himself. And no.
I'm so happy. I really that really made me happy. And I got a message from you guys on Without a Box regarding somebody waking up or somebody waking up their family on Saturday.
Yeah, that was my partner. Yeah.
It just made us smile so much. So that really meant a lot. Thank you for that. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So basically this won't take too long. I mean, 15 minutes probably max. We'll have a quick chat. We like to get to know the filmmakers. I mean, sometimes it's a little bit of a twisted mind that comes up with this stuff, so it's nice to get to know them a little bit more and get inside that mind. Then we'll grab some sound bites potentially if anything comes up, play those immediately before or after your film is screened. And then we're archiving all of these, and once we get our asses in gear, we're gonna launch a podcast where we're gonna have these interviews broadcast that way.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. That sounds
Awesome.
fantastic.
Great. So why don't we start with introduce yourself and your film and give us just a brief overview of what the film's about.
Sure. So my name is Ricky Cruz. I am originally from Johannesburg, South Africa. I am a producer and filmmaker that is based out here in Los Angeles. And I recently worked on Pigeonhole, which is the film that managed to get into the Canadian International Comedy Film Festival, and I'm very thankful for it. It's an unconventional comedy that sort of explores the idea of finding your place in the world and where that might belong. But again, it doesn't take itself too seriously. It kind of celebrates these artistic indie film tropes that we've all come to be very familiar with. And although it parodies it, it kind of celebrates it and becomes a self-contained comedy in and of itself. In and of itself. So it's that's pretty much Pigeonhole in a nutshell, to be honest with you.
So, it's one of those films where you've basically got two actors that are holding up the whole thing, and Patrick Stewart and Mindy Sterling. Amazing. Where did you find these people? I understand Patrick's also the writer.
Yeah, I was actually approached by Patrick for the project to initially just be a producer on the project. And as we started having these creative meetings with one another, he kind of tentatively approached me and asked me to do the directing as well, just because me and him had a sort of a same shared vision with regards to the comedy and how we wanted this to play out and stuff like that. I'm also linked to the Groundlings Theatre out here, which is a sketch comedy and improv troupe. People like Will Ferrell and Melissa McCartney and all these big sort of comedy icons have come out of there. I'm a stage manager there at the moment, and Mindy Sterling is actually an alumni of the theatre. And our a shared teacher that myself and Patrick Stewart have is a multiple Emmy nominated writer who's also friends with Mindy Sterling. So our respective collections and sort of relationships with the theater that Mindy loves kind of gave us the opportunity to work with her and, you know, pitch this idea to her. And she was just, she was so cool and so on board and so ready to do it, which is really, really awesome. I was a little bit hesitant. I didn't think she was going to be interested when she saw how absurd the material was, but she totally just embraced it, which was awesome. I love that.
Well, I have to say, yeah, she was fantastic, but the one scene where Patrick is relaying the story and she keeps saying, like, you don't have to go on, and he just keeps continuing. I mean, that was one of those moments where I was just crying, laughing. So well done. Is Patrick, was this kind of something that he came up with on his own, or is this something that kind of came on the day?
You know, it's actually something we pretty much planned. We wanted to celebrate films that do take themselves very seriously while making fun of them at the same time. And that shot that you're talking about actually was an idea that I brought to the table based on a scene in Good Will Hunting. There's a very iconic sort of moment where, you know, Robin Williams is just talking to, he's giving this very, very emotional monologue, and the camera kind of slowly pans around him, but we never lose him. And that's kind of what we ended up doing. The initial script was a little bit different, but I wanted to embrace that that very specific shot. And as a result of that, we kind of said, well, what happens if you just keep on going on with the story? And he's like, well, Mindy has to interrupt me at some point. We're like, yeah, but you just won't hear it. You'll just kind of keep going on, you know? It's a complete monologue for you, dude. Like, you should just embrace that. So that's kind of how that came around. I'm glad you noticed that as well, just because it was such an organic edit, but it was definitely deliberate, which was really, really well, really, really enjoyable.
Now, the film, yeah,
we kind of wanted to celebrate those moments because we love those kind of films, and that's kind of why we want to make fun of them. You know? It's because...
Oh, no. Lost them. There we go.
Hey, I'm not too sure what happened.
It's all right. I think you finished your thought anyway. It was pretty good timing.
Okay, great.
So my next question was going to be about how it was shot. It's beautiful. Were you kind of going for like an art house kind of feel? Were you're really trying to kind of throw people off, making them think it's very, you know, self-important, self-indulgent kind of a, you know, French cinema kind of idea?
It's exactly what we were going for. We wanted to embrace this kind of aesthetic, or more importantly, we were focused on these tropes that happen in independent art house cinema all the time. And it's so much so that, you know, people who might not even watch art house cinema typically are familiar with them and kind of recognize them right off the bat. And that's just kind of how iconic they've become. So we wanted to do a film that kind of embraced all of these strange and sort of wonderful approaches to filmmaking and put it in a film that took itself way too seriously, but had fun doing it. So that's exactly where the scenic time lapse and the, third person, the voyeuristic feel that we get over there, these very, very, very long and sort of... very abstract sort of thoughts that the main character experiences and articulates. It's kind of all a celebration of storytelling at its quote-unquote finest and how familiar we've become with. You know, there's a lot of films that will sacrifice substance to embrace these kind of tropes, and that's also something that we totally wanted to just, you know, have fun with and say. There's a lot of films out there that take themselves too seriously, but how fun would it be if they didn't, and would that look like? And that's kind of where we ended up with Pigeonhole.
Well, and I think that's why it spoke to us specifically, because that's kind of been our festival from the beginning, is we want to take the piss out of festivals that take themselves too seriously. So that's, I think, why it just struck a note for us, because we were looking at it, it's like, you know, oh, is this going to be another one of those art house films? And then just sucker punched us in the gut.
I'm so happy. I'm really, really glad. I was talking to the writer as well. I wanted him to come for the interview as well, but unfortunately he couldn't make it. And so we were talking about some of this these things that happened throughout set and stuff, you know, any stories that you guys might find interesting. And everything that potentially could have gone wrong leading up to this project totally went wrong and gave us, you know, so much grief and so much stress. And then it's just such a pleasure to see it come together and be appreciated by someone outside of the production. That's just really such an amazing feeling.
Well, if it's too easy, then you don't appreciate it at the end, you know?
Of course, absolutely. We ended up using this performing animal troupe, which is, you know, they're great people, but apparently are you still there now? All right. What I was mentioning is we used a performance animal collective to secure some trained pigeons. Unfortunately, apparently it's not that easy to get trained pigeons because they just don't train too well. But regardless, we ended up getting, you know, this group of, must have been about 12 or 13 pigeons from this animal house. And, when they arrived there, I wanted to make sure that everything was okay. So I even touched base with them. Are you sure these pigeons are going to be able to do what we want to do? Because we had some very specific shots in mind. And she's like, yeah. You know, the pigeons are well trained. They do everything. And as soon as they open this cage, two of these pigeons just fly away, never to be seen again. And my heart just like broke a little bit. I'm like, you know, these stupid pigeons, we needed you guys for like very specific shots we had planned. And another fact of that was obviously the wind, because we had like, when you watch that film, you see how crazy the wind is in like Mindy's hair and like the stuff. We must have had like 16 to 20 mile winds all throughout the day. So these pigeons were obviously a little bit shaken by that and uncertain of themselves. So the trained pigeons were used almost exclusively for close-ups, and all the other animals summoned were actually wild animals of the park that I just bought like 3 bags of bird food in case anything happened. And we were just summoning birds all day for that one shot of Patrick in his tidy whities in front of all, like a swan and a goose and a bunch of ducks and stuff.
That was fantastic.
That's why we have a collection of birds there. We're supposed to be exclusively pigeons, but that didn't work out.
That leads me into one question I jotted down on my notes, which was there's quite a few shots of Mindy and Patrick just like from the waist up, and they're, you know, breaking off pieces of bread, throwing them in front of them. How large was the pile of uneaten breadcrumbs in front of the two of them by the end of the shoot?
You know what? You would think it would be big, but we had so many birds stacked around us from that production that as soon as they threw something down, whether we were rolling or not, like a goose might come once in a while and just take one from there. You know, they were actually eating the bird they were dropping them, which was nice because there was hardly a cleanup to do because these birds were so hungry. But we literally had like a gang of like geese and some ravens and some crazy birds I wasn't even expecting to be there, kind of just perched around production all day, just watching this bread being dropped and taking what they could. Half the time there was never even a bird in front of them, but a bird managed to get the food somehow, which is kind of environmentally good, I guess. It made me happy.
For sure.
Nothing was wasted, you know.
So what's next for Pigeonhole? What's next for Ricky Cruz and Patrick Stewart?
Well, Pigeonhole has got a few more festivals coming up. I think it's going to be a very turbulent February, depending on how we're received. So hopefully it'll be for the best. It already got into, it's a semi-finalist in the Lisbon Film Rendezvous in Portugal, which is where my family is originally from. So I submitted there. I sent it there on a whim just to embrace, you know, my heritage. And I sent it to a few other South African film festivals as well, just to get them on the radars to what I'm doing. And then hopefully it'll be well received like this and just find its respective audience. And hopefully people will see it as a comedy and not a poorly made drama that takes itself too seriously, because it's one of the reservations I had regarding the film. But I know Patrick is currently working on a one-man show, which is going to be coming live probably, I want to say in the middle of the year likely, I'm not too sure. He's also been writing some other scripts, and he approached me with another abstract idea for a weird kind of quirky comedy like this. But I've got a pretty busy year up ahead of me in any case. So if we have time to work on something or collaborate, I would love that, because he's such a talented individual, such a funny voice. But as for me, I've got a few short films coming out. I'm shooting a parody on the Werner Herzog documentary Grizzly Man, which sounds very inappropriate, which it is. And it's a parody on that documentary, which I'm really excited about. I've also got an anthology of unconventional comedies coming out, which are it's more a collection of romantic comedies told from the loser's perspective, which is kind of what I'm interested in. So it's these weird, unsettling sort of like unsuccessful love endeavors. The first one, Mixed Orders, is already out on the festival circuit, and we're prepping to do the third one right now while we edit the second. And so, yeah, that's kind of it's kind of me just getting my control over the creative stuff that I have and just making sure that it gets out there at some point, because I want to celebrate what makes me laugh with everybody else, you know?
Well, you know what? If you just make films that you find funny, they'll find an audience.
That's what I'm hoping is the case. I really am hoping that, because I tried for a long time when I first came out here to make what I thought other people wanted to see. But it's truly true what you say. Just sort of make what you laugh, and there's somebody else that's weird like you who will find it.
Like us, for example.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm looking at that.
Fantastic. Yeah, just as an aside, that's interesting, your Portuguese ancestry. My wife and in-laws are all Portuguese. They're Azorean. We've got bacalhau brach in the fridge waiting for dinner tonight.
Oh, wow, that's great. I haven't had bacalhau in so long. I think Christmas like 2 years ago or something like that. That's crazy cool.
Yeah, there's a ton for what, I don't know why, but there is a ton of Portuguese in Winnipeg, specifically from the Azores, which makes me, yeah. I just don't understand why they came here, because if you could have literally the opposite climate from the Azores, it's Winnipeg.
Yeah, of course. Well, I don't know. I think Canada's got a lot going for. I'm dying to go to Canada still. When I'm able to stay, because I'm still working on my visa right now for me to stay here a little bit more permanently. But as soon as that's sorted out, Canada all over is on my map. I had a roommate who lived in Edmonton, and he showed me pictures of like the snow in there, and it looked beautiful.
It's nice. I would recommend, though, planning your trip for sometime between April and October, though.
Oh, okay. That's
like summer. It's been a pretty brutal winter so far.
I can just imagine.
Yeah.
Especially, it's been so rough here, down here. I can only imagine how rough it's been up north. It's pretty intense.
Yeah, no, it's but you know what? There's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's already February. It can't last forever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, of course. There it is.
All right. Well, unless there's anything else you want to mention, I think I've pretty much got everything here.
No, thank you. Again, I'm just so happy to have been a part of this. Please keep me posted with what happens with this interview. It'll probably help my case at some point, so I really do appreciate that.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's my mom's birthday today as well. So this was like a great way to start the whole day, because it's just a great day all around. So I really, really do appreciate it. Thank you so much for understanding and enjoying the film. And yeah, I'm just glad you guys loved it.
Well, thanks for making us laugh, Ricky.
I'm glad.
All right.
Enjoy the rest of your day and have fun with all the other interviews.
All right. You too, man. Take it easy. Bye-bye.